Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. Hey, before we get started, I want to tell you about my favorite nutrition program, Champion Athletes. As an athlete, whether at the middle school, high school, collegiate, or professional level, you have special nutritional needs, and these vary depending on your sport and energy requirements. Nutrition and ideal body composition play an essential role in achieving your performance goals and maximizing your success. At Champion Athletes, certified experts in sports nutrition develop individualized plans for the student, amateur, and professional athlete. Their sports nutrition programs will optimize your diet and nutrition so that you can achieve your ideal body composition and maximize your performance. Here's what I love. Each program is tailored to meet your specific needs through a comprehensive assessment, continuous reevaluation, and one-on-one coaching. So whether you're just starting out, maybe you're an amateur athlete, or you have elite status, the Champion Athlete Sports Nutrition Programs will help you reach your maximum potential. Programs are available nationwide. And for us, if you are a listener of Coach P's Perspective, you'll receive a $50 discount for the initial program if you use the code COACHP. Their website is champions-athletes.com. So be sure to check out the website. You can also look at their Instagram page, which is at championathletes. I'll have those links in the show notes. Go check out my friends at Champion Athletes to get your nutrition right, to reach your maximum potential and performance. All right. Hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I am pumped. Today I have on one of my favorite coaches, college football coach Aaron Smetanka, who is the coach for St. Vincent College. I actually had the opportunity to interview him and speak with him and actually meet him via online a couple years ago. And not for my podcast, but for Winning Mindset. I did a little series with them, and Coach was incredible. So I've always had him like, okay, I got to get him on my podcast as well. So Coach, man, thanks for being on.
Thanks, Coach P. I definitely appreciate you taking the time and having me on here today too. Definitely thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah, you bet. So, you know, and I'm going to let you tell it more here in a little bit, but, you know, you were a outstanding college quarterback. You played indoor football, won a championship for the Erie Explosion, you know, so, and then you jumped into college coaching. I think it was high school coaching first and then college coaching. And
yes,
but we're going to get into that, but tell us like where it all began, man. Like, where'd you grow up at? How'd you get into sports? You know, and if you played other sports, and then we'll talk about your football career.
Yeah. I grew up about 20 minutes north of Pittsburgh, right in the suburbs there, and the Hampton Township was there. I grew up in, with parents that definitely ingrained sports in me from an early age, starting out as literally as 4 years old, jumping into baseball and also soccer at that time, at that point in time, then transitioning in more of the flag football with the kindergarten going throughout that the process to the fourth grade. Also during that time, implemented basketball as well. I went to a Catholic grade school, so St. Mary's at Glenshaw, went there from kindergarten through eighth grade. During that time, I played four sports, baseball, basketball, football, soccer. Going in eighth grade, I cut soccer out and just stayed with three of the sports going forward. At that point in time, then I ended up going to North Catholic High School, right in the city of Pittsburgh. It was the north side of Pittsburgh and Troy Hill. Since then, they've actually moved their location just in the suburbs, about 25 minutes outside of Pittsburgh. With their new location being out there. Loved the process, though. I mean, I loved everything with it. They had to go throughout the off-season programs, the training aspect, whether it had been baseball or basketball throughout that time, and going from one sport to the next and always being consistent. I was talking about competition, always competing in everything that we're doing throughout that time. So we always were pushing each other, always competing in every single drill that we had, no matter if it was drills for practices, drills during the off season, if it was in the weight room, no matter what it was, our guys, we always pushed each other and had fun with it then. And I definitely felt like it made it really exciting, but also helped us because of the grows we went forward, no matter who that opponent was that we were going up against on that end. After that time, did get some opportunities on a football end, decided to pursue that career once I went to college. I knew I wanted to study business, so I kind of just paired up what schools were best from the business perspective or business marketing, and then which ones were best then from the athletic perspective for sports. So then that's the route that I ended up going with football and ended up choosing Robert Morris University. I went there for 3 years, I registered to one, played some during that time, but then eventually ended up transferring and going to St. Vincent College, where everything kind of started that process for my last 2 years of eligibility, and then finishing with the business school, the Kennedy McKissick School as well. Finished there with a business management degree. Then after that, I knew I wanted to pursue my playing career and see as far as what that was going to entail from going forward. I got some opportunities, got a pro day opportunity coming out of school. Got to work out, I think at the time it was maybe 15 or 16 NFL teams. And then the panned out during that time, during the offseason, I ended up catching on and going on with an arena team. I played arena football then up in Erie for 2 years, and we had an awesome time up there. We won 2 arena championships. Then I got some interest then from the next level, and just so happened to be that offseason in January, team that comes up here for training camp, the Pittsburgh Steelers, ended up bringing me in then that offseason for a private workout. Nothing panned out. Instead of going back into playing arena or going up to Canada, I just figured, hey, let's hang them up. Let's just focus more on a coaching perspective going forward. And definitely, I feel like that's the best choice I've made from that career standpoint. I definitely love what I'm doing right now as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you mentioned, I want to go back to it real quick, flag football. So I have 4 children, and 2 of them are boys, and they're young right now, and they're both playing flag football. Which I love. And I coached football for years. I just coach wrestling now, but I coached it for years. So what age do you think, what age in your opinion, should kids switch over from flag to tackle?
I would probably say everybody's different, just depending on the maturity level. Physical maturity, I'd probably say, is the biggest standpoint that you're saying right now. For some kids just develop quicker from the physical standpoint. And the ones that you don't see as far as develop as quick, I'd probably say taking more of a step back and looking at perspective-wise, hey, staying more in the flag football route, starting out at, as they develop a little bit more, start introducing them into it. But I wouldn't say there's a specific year or age they go off of, because I'd say everybody's probably a little bit different depending on where they're at, though, with their growth, from whether it be 10, 12, 14, 16, as you see throughout high school, some really develop and even see at the NFL level. Some guys, their 0 stars are coming out when they're coming just out of high school when they're 17, 18 years old. But then you see how much they grow in a 4-year span at college. And some of them put on 20, 30, 40 pounds just physically that much stronger and bigger. And then their speed development comes from that too, then from their training. You really see that trajectory of them. And that's why the NFL teams then take those opportunities on them and draft them. We'll bring them in for offseason workouts to their undrafted guys. And those are the ones then you end up hearing or reading about or seeing on TV then on Sundays from the NFL games. So I wouldn't say there's a specific set age, because everybody I feel has a different perspective on what they're getting themselves into, or just perspective wise, as far as the physical standpoint, though, and where they're developing at that point in time.
All right, very good. I ask because I often have parents ask me that. So,
okay,
let's hear it from a coach with that. So, yep. All right. You know, you were a quarterback, and you went to St. Vincent your last couple of years there in college, and I know you still own a bunch of records at St. Vincent. You know, and then of course we're able to play at an even higher level. Arena League, and then, you know, like you said, getting to go in and do some privates for Pittsburgh. Now, that tells me a couple things. One, you're a great athlete. Two, you're extremely intelligent. People that maybe are outside of football don't know, but man, if you're a QB, you are an intelligent dude. So I know you guys have to study. And it's also quick decision-making. So, and then that also lends itself well to coaching, right? So what was it about coaching that, you know, I guess let me back up. What was the point in time where you were like, you know what, I'm weighing on one hand, do I want to continue my athletic career or do I want to pursue this coaching career? And what was it that allowed you to make that mindset shift to literally do it?
Yeah, I knew eventually I wanted to get into coaching. I actually started in coaching right out of college. So I was doing that and I was playing arena football at the same time. So I was putting a lot of miles on my car, honestly, going to practices, from coaching, driving back and forth from the Pittsburgh area up to Erie. Yeah, there were a lot of hours and a lot of miles I was putting on my SUV at that point in time. But I feel it paid off because I knew that's the route I wanted to go at the end of the day after I knew my playing time was up. And I knew I wanted to be a part of something that I felt really helped me. I felt like I had a lot of great coaches that were good mentors throughout my playing career, whether baseball, basketball, or football from those years that have helped develop from where I was at. And that's the point. I wanted to be hopefully somebody that can help inspire somebody else on the field, off the field. And I always knew whenever I got into coaching, I didn't just want to be somebody that was just preaching and talking about the wins and the losses. Clearly, as any coach, you want to be winning every single game you're in. But preaching on the other end, though, is how are you developing them in the classroom to be a better student, because it's student athlete, but then also how you develop them, because end of the day it's growing so they could be a better man, husband, and father than for the futures from our perspective in the coaching, and it's making sure you're developing them for a life and life skills going forward. And those are the ultimate things I always said when I wanted to get into coaching. I want to make sure those were things that we were always going to be preaching and teaching to our players and our student athletes.
Absolutely. Who were a couple of the coaches that were major impacts in your life and why?
Yeah, growing up, it was great because we played baseball the whole way through until I got into high school. My father actually was one of the coaches. My father and one of my good friends were the two that coached us growing throughout baseball. So I got a lot of good things seeing my father from how he was at home, how he was around us on that end, but then seeing him as a coach in a different light on that end, which was good. Because then he always was somebody who was pushing, trying to get the best out of myself and out of my teammates during that time from the baseball. And so it was always great from that. The basketball end, some really good coaches during that time too. Mr. Brown, Mr. Jones were two really good coaches I had developing when I was just in grade school. I got into high school and Coach Long. Mr. Long was the one when I was at North Catholic. That always taught great things too on and off the field. He always talked about like Bible verses and scriptures. We even went to mass if we had Sunday practices when we had those days, which I felt like I always wanted to incorporate that then too with our program here, especially here at St. Vincent College, always preaching or having a specific Bible verse to go off of each week throughout our season. And then the football, a lot of great coaches during the time from Coach Commendator, Coach O'Meara that I had back in grade school at St. Mary's, developing up, because it was fourth grade through eighth, because that's when you can start tackling at the Catholic school. So fourth through eighth, got into high school. I had two coaches when I was a North Catholic. I had Coach Piccinini, who's now still coaching in the Whitfield right now at Carlington High School. And then I had another coach, Coach Ravenstahl, who actually is a judge for the city of Pittsburgh as well. And his son actually was the mayor of Pittsburgh. For a good bit of time too, but he was also another one too, was always preaching on and off the field and making sure we're always making the right decisions or doing the right things and making sure we're helping develop and being a good leader out there in the community. And then once I got into college, really good from the standpoint when I went to Robert Morris, Coach Joe Walton was our head coach at that time, and guy played in the NFL, coached in the NFL, had a lot of good perspectives as far as how to see things now at the next level. What are they doing from an NFL standpoint? Seeing the playbook and all the plays that they would go through is a big change from what I was doing in high school. on that end. But then also seeing the development standpoint of what do you have to do day in and day out, especially the quarterback position, the mental aspect, all the film study you have to go through, all the plays you have to make sure you're developing, you're understanding, and you're memorizing so you can put that together when you're making quick decisions when you're on a football field. But then when I went to St. Vincent College, the next coach that I had there was a great developer on and off the field. He always treated people the right way in everything that we did and always preached about, hey, living your life in a lifestyle that obviously is going to help glorify God at the end of the day. So he was always pushing us on and off the field was Coach Bob Colbert. And he did a really good job during that time. And there's a lot of things, too, that I've used from his coaching that's really transitioned and helped push me throughout my time of my coaching career just so far. So those are the coaches I feel that really helped develop from all standpoints. There's few from, baseball and the basketball and then the football end as well.
Yeah, I always feel as a coach, I want to be my own man. I want to be my own person, use my own coaching personality, right? But at the same time, man, like that is all influenced by a number of really good coaches I had growing up, So be able to steal a little bit from each of those guys and incorporate it. And again, I don't want to try to be them because one coach may be a yeller, one coach may be intense, one coach may be calm. You got to know your own personality. But man, when you've had good coaches, it's awesome to be able to go back and take some of those things that really impacted your life and then pour those into your athletes as well.
Yes. Now, I felt that's from each of those coaches throughout the various sports, there was always something to pull out of each and every one of them. So I feel like now developing, just how you talked about it, you have to develop your own style of coaching because everybody is different. And there's always little things out of each of those coaches I feel like have helped develop myself during that time too as well.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about your team currently, there at St. Vincent. What are some of the things that you guys do to develop the athletes and build a foundation? And you've already mentioned it, but not only as a player, but also from a character perspective as a human being. And, and I think those two definitely go hand in hand. We all know that there are athletes who maybe aren't great human beings. And then there are people and they're exceptional athletes. There are people maybe that aren't great athletes that are really good people, but it seems like a lot of times, and I think this applies to everything in life, as we become the best version of ourselves, we also begin to get better in all the other areas we're passionate about, right? So as a football player, if I want to be the best version of myself on the football field, it makes sense for me to try to get better in all these other areas. And I know that's something you guys really do, but so what are some of the pillars or foundational things that you guys do to really develop your players and to build your program?
Yeah, so everything's based off of our team motto, our core values, and then just talking about preaching about what we talk about is our Bearcat football family. Kind of really the three P's, people, purpose, process, as I always talk about, is our three P's we have with our football program, St. Vincent College. People is that Bearcat football family. So it's our players and coaches. We got guys from various backgrounds, cultures, belief systems that we have here at St. Vincent. We have currently on the team, we have players from 10 different states. I know you really don't see that too much at our level, more Division III. PA, yeah, we're in Pennsylvania, so a lot of our team is consistent of that state. Then surrounding states with your Maryland, your Ohio, your Delaware, Virginia, surrounding on that end. Then we got guys from New York, New Jersey, Michigan, Florida, Georgia, Texas. So there are a mixture of those other states though too as well, which I've really helped. I always talk about it's uniting as one now. Coming together from all different backgrounds, all different cultures, belief systems, uniting as one here at St. Vincent. That's our Bearcat football family on end with our players and coaches. People, is that in the purpose, obviously coming out the people purpose, the process of the purpose, and then coming off that is our core values, which we always preach. Faith is first and foremost. We're always teaching our guys in season, out of season, having faith in God for giving us a great opportunity to be a student athlete. It's only 6.5% of those that get to play at that next level. It's a very small percentage. I mean, that's directly from NCAA statistics, over 1 million high school football players playing that game. Only 6.5% of those now playing at that next level. So taking advantage of those opportunities that aren't for any presenting to you, but then helping use those and guiding others though, as you go forward, don't just use it from their perspective of that sport. It's what else can you help to inspire and help others then throughout your process. Faith then is the first one, going off that positive attitude is the second one, keeping a positive attitude perspective on our daily lives. is very intriguing. I mean, people want to be around us and have a positive attitude. So your body language, how you communicate, and how you just go throughout your daily life and making sure you're always being perceived and coming off as positive in everything that you do. I always come back off of that is, hey, your event plus your response is your outcome to win a game. So we're driving the ball down the field. We got a minute 30 on the clock, and we're calling RPO to get the call out. Our QB pulls it to try to get this 4th and 8, try to hit this out route to get a first down and keep the clock running. Corner picks it, takes it back for 6. What's going to happen in most places? And the response, if it's a negative environment, you probably just stands all going, yelling. Their heads on the sideline. The coaches are probably going off. Players on the sideline are like, oh, game's over now. We just lost. Instead of looking at the positive perspective from that response. Hey, there's a minute 30 on the clock. We have 2 timeouts. We're getting the ball right back. We're only down by 3 points at this point in time. Hey, we'll stay cool, calm, collected. We'll stay confident in our process so we could finish this game out strong here and give ourselves the best opportunity to win the game. So that's the positive attitude is number 2 with our core values. The work ethic is just continuous effort, 100% effort to whatever task is thrown at you today. In the classroom, on a football field, a community service event, giving 100% effort to whatever is put in front of you. Competing, and it's for. It's not, hey, I'm going to go compete to participate in something. I think that's one thing you're kind of seeing nowadays. They get trophies for 8th, 9th, 10th place. It's, no, we want to compete for first in everything you do. You're the first, you're that. So making sure we're competing and coming first. So always compete throughout practices. If it's 1-on-1, 7-on-7, team periods, down and distance situations, red zones, goal lines, having a point system with those guys in practice. So we're already developing that. So game days are a lot easier on that on the football end. Compete in the classroom. Hey, getting the GPAs back from the end of the semester, where do our guys stand? Looking at positional groups. Hey, where do you stand in your positional group? You're the highest on your side of the – then after that is your highest your side of the ball, offense, defense, or specialist. If you're that guy, you're the highest overall on the team. So it's competing on all ends in the classroom. And a community service event. Hey, maybe we're there. We're helping out. We're at a food bank for an hour. How many families can you feed during that time? How many people can you help out? So competing on all ends, but also for a great cause at the end of the day. Then the 5th core value is sacrifice. Jesus made all of the sacrifice for us to tell him. I don't think we can do anything in comparison to that, but we can do the little things in our lives. The sacrifice during our day. It's looking at perspective. What's going to help you out that next day, then going forward, help you develop? What are some little things you can sacrifice today? Maybe I got an exam tomorrow at 8 a.m. So maybe I need to, hey, get off of social media. Maybe I need to not hang out with my friends today. Maybe I need to just really focus and develop and study and get prepared for that exam then going forward tomorrow. So looking at those little things that can help develop and better yourself going forward. So those are our 5 core values that hold true. So we talk about people, purpose, and then the process. The last standpoint is our team motto, rise together. We want our guys rising together academically, athletically, socially, spiritually, and community. All 5 phases. We want our guys being well-rounded student athletes, but it's developing them though to be a better man, husband, and father. While we develop our relationship and grow and keep our faith in God at the end of the day, because he's the one that gives us this great life and the one that we can be here then for. So we have this opportunity to be here as a student athlete. So those are our 5 phases then of our Rise Together motto. We always make sure we want to make keeping our guys talking about what we're doing with them to help develop into an aspect academic throughout the course of the year. I always want to make sure our guys are staying on top. So every week, we work right as the semester starts, whether it be coming in for training camp or whether it be starting the semester when we come back here on January 10th. Dr. Nancy Rotler, she's actually the head of our student success, an opportunity here at St. Vincent College. She works hand in hand with myself and our coaching staff, developing and putting together. I call it an academic playbook. So playbook on that has a list of their classes, their contacts for the professors, tutorings for their tutors, so putting together a tutorial system on that. So they have a list of all the tutors on campus, all their contact information. And then there's just a check sheet on the back of it. Hey, did you make sure you put down everything you have from your exams, your quizzes, your assignments then throughout the week? Putting that, if you went to a tutor, they check in and they check out, they sign off that you actually attended and you were there for them. Checking off, then you came in on Friday. So every single Friday we have them meet with our guys. We really just double check it because they have their own academic advisor specifically for the major. But I think it's really helped those guys throughout the time. It's really shown with our GPAs of our team and really shown that just overall with our players. So from seeing where they're coming in and seeing where they finish out. It's really helped in that development and making sure, hey, it's not just on their end staying eligible, yeah, but it's making sure they're staying on track of their major. And then also it's making sure they're moving on in for their career path going forward. That's the ultimate goal. We want them to develop them as a student so they can move on and can get right in their career path. And I think our school does something like that because our entire school is a 98% placement, right, just coming out of it. So I tell our guys, hey, you don't want to be that 2% that's not in there. You want to make sure you're part of that 98% that's moving on and for your career path right whenever you graduate, though, too. With that, that was the academic standpoint. A lot of things that we work on develop on that end. Athletically, I always preach what we're doing throughout the year. So when we come back in, our guys, they'll be on a four-day program. So we'll lift 4 days during the week. We'll be Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. So it'll be our lifting schedule. We have a yoga instructor be on Wednesdays. So rehab, recovery, injury prevention, flexibility. Ms. Julie Parsons does a great job with that. She works with our players from that perspective, in season and out of season too. Because when we're in season, we cut down over 3 days of lifting in season, and then we have a yoga on one of those days during in season. So that's kind of what we're doing development from the strength and conditioning standpoint then year round on our ends. From the athletic standpoint, then that's what we're going to be moving into right when we start this upcoming semester. So academically, athletically, socially, then we want to make sure we're developing our guys going forward then, not just on the football field, but developing them as they move on for their career path, but then just being a great citizen in their daily lives. So we talk about doing the little things socially. It could be just saying please, saying thank you, holding a door for somebody, doing the little things on cleaning up after somebody. If, hey, somebody got up, they left the lunch table and they forgot to take their tray or something fell out their tray, picking it up for them, taking it to the garbage. So small things like that, though, go a long way. Then socially, then helping our guys develop. So we always like bringing a director of our career services each semester. Just learn perspective of what you're getting yourself into in your major. I know, hey, most of those guys that are freshmen are going to just jump into internships right away. It usually takes some time developing throughout the years. But building their resume up. So what can you get on your resume? How can you structure your resume and build that as you're going throughout your freshman through senior year? So by the time you build up your jobs, by the time you build up your internships, hey, I'm already ready. I'm moving on to my career. I'm starting my very first job right after graduation. So those are main things we want to make from the social end. Those guys are starting by working with our career development center. But also then bringing in different speakers. Speakers could be from different sports, different perspective on helping them develop off the field, helping them develop in our specific sport for football. Maybe it's helping with making the right choices. If, hey, they're in situations, we bring up different topics of violence. Hey, if you know somebody in a situation, what would you do? What's your perspective on it? How are you going to help that person? Or how can you help somebody get away from a situation to make it a better outcome going forward? Mental health awareness is very prevalent. So right now, bringing in different speakers we had throughout the year to help with those and making sure we talk about championship mindset, making sure we're making the right decisions then. But also, hey, everybody struggles at times. How can you help those people and get the right people in front of them too throughout? After that, then socially, like developing, bringing our guys around, having our alumni. We have alumni networking night. It's actually will be coming up here in the beginning for January when our guys come back at the very end of the month of January. So getting them in front of our past alums, some of the players on that, and I think it really helps making that connection, seeing those guys now in a different light from seeing their past film, now seeing what they're doing, their career path. But it also just builds good contacts with them too. If they're looking for specific internships or job opportunities in those fields, it puts people that have went through the same shoes and walked through the same path and now have moved on from that as well. And then from the social, so academically, athletically, socially, spiritually, yeah, we're a Catholic school. Roman Catholic, St. Vincent College, Benedictine. We actually have the largest Benedictine monastery in the United States, actually in the world. right now at St. Vincent College. It's actually a fact that a lot of people don't know about. But there's a house on our campus with the monks that are here. So spiritually, yeah, we are a Catholic school. I was raised in a Catholic family. Has really used that as the years have went on and continued that as I've grown throughout the years as well. But we do a prayer service on our own just on game days that we have with Father Max. He's our team chaplain. Does a great job with it, our guys. I think really get a lot out of it. But then on top of that, he loves football. So he's a guy that's always cheering our players on the sidelines, When we're at our home games, is always there to support them, no matter if it's every walk of life, from being a football player, being a student in the classroom, and then obviously with the spiritual perspective. Then we also have a player's one. It's Ryan that we do. And it's have a coach's one and two for coach's huddle throughout the year as well from the spiritual perspective. And that's open for anybody too, because we do have various backgrounds, culture, belief systems on it. So depending on what their beliefs are, it's open for everybody though, too, no matter what your religion is. And then talked about is academically, athletically, socially, spiritually. The last one's community, giving back. So a lot of different things on our end. We want to make sure we're giving back to others for blessing us with these opportunities. So our guys will either do things in person. Obviously, these last 2.5 years have been different or so with the pandemic. So whether it be in person, helping organizations or helping donate or give back to places during our time. So our players and coaches have done a really good job as giving back and helping our community here, helping the PA and Westmoreland County community, but then also helping surrounding states or even internationally at times as well. So those are the things that kind of really consist of our program, touch base from the Bearcat football family, our core values that we hold true with players and coaches, and then that Rise Together, our team motto that kind of involves and surrounds our whole team.
So I wrote down as you were talking, the championship lifestyle. Like, you are literally creating this whole entire championship lifestyle for these athletes. The way you do anything is the way you do everything, right? So
if
you see a piece of trash on the ground, we're going to pick it up and throw it away. If we're doing community service, it's all in 100%.
Yes.
I love it, man. And I was just thinking as well, if this were packaged together outside of sports, and let's say for CEOs of companies or whatever, this would be like $1 million program. All the things that you are providing for these athletes, which is awesome, which is absolutely incredible. Thanks. That these guys are getting to do that. Covering all the bases, you know, the academic playbook. I love it because I think a big part, and I can speak from my experience when I very first went to college, and then I send a lot of my wrestlers to go compete in college, and we talk about this, but I think a big part when you very first walk in as a freshman is organization. A lot of times you have no idea how to organize everything in your world whenever you're a college athlete. All of a sudden you got classes that mom and dad aren't waking you up to go to, like you got to get up and go to, you know, and then you're trying to figure out like, okay, how do I devote time to that? And I still got to study my playbook and I got to go lift weights and I got to go, you know, so giving those guys an academic playbook, I think is phenomenal. First off, that's how my mind thinks anyway, right? As a coach, yes. As a former athlete, you know, so now I could like, oh, that makes sense. And I could look and be like, okay, I need to do A, B, C, and D. And if I do those things over and over consistently, I'm probably going to do pretty good in the classroom, you know? Yes. So this is that is exceptionally well thought out, this whole entire thing. But it's also one of the things I love about sports, right? I think I just had this conversation with one of my assistant coaches the other day, and he was a college baseball player, and he coaches football and helps me coach wrestling. But I was just saying, it would have been weird for me to go to college, and not everybody's athletes, right? A lot of people that listen to this podcast are athletes, former athletes or whatever, but it would have been weird for me to go to college and just be a student. I can't even imagine what it was like. I probably would have had to have like a full-time job while I was doing it or something, like,
yes.
Because yeah, I feel like I would have been bored, but being a college athlete consumes so much of your life, but you learn so many things along the way. And especially when you have good coaches like yourself, they're guiding you, you know? And I think sometimes it's easy to take it for granted as a college athlete, right? Even having an academic advisor, like I never had to make my own schedule. Somebody always made my schedule for me. And I walked in, they're like, here's your schedule. And I'm like, okay. And those are the classes I had to go to, right? They kept me on track. I didn't have to figure that out on my own. So anyway, coach, I just want to say that is insanely impressive to hear all the things that you guys are doing. And we're not even talking about wins and losses, right? Like you mentioned, as coaches and as athletes, we all want to win. That's just a given. Winning is really fun. Losing is not very fun. But at the same time, man, like all these other things that can be learned along the way. Now, you and your assistant coaches, how much time did you guys come up with? And I know it's an ongoing process. As a coach, you're always trying to improve your program. But how much time did you guys devote to, hey, man, let's really like get in and get dig in and get specific about these areas that need to happen to make our athletes the best student athlete human beings they can be?
Just what you talked about. I mean, it's always evolving. There's always something that we always look at to change or tweak during in season, whether it be with practices. Hey, if there's something maybe we can add on during our practice so that there's something little we can tweak that help give us an advantage for that upcoming game, depending on that opponent that we're going against. Seeing it from that end. So I always feel like don't always box yourself into something and say, hey, we're doing this no matter what. Because I feel like that's when you hurt yourself at the end of the day, when you can hurt your team. Then we look at it from the opposite end, what we're doing in the offseason. Talking about with our strength and conditioning coordinator actually a couple of weeks ago, talking about, hey, this is what we're looking at developing from this end with our guys and building up for this upcoming season. So you don't always have the same program. You're always using the same thing that we're doing with the guys because you might have a different team that year. Maybe this year's team you're looking to develop more strength and more size to your players. Maybe the year before you were looking to go off of just more, hey, everything we're doing is going to be speed work and really helping out and develop on that end. So always looking into where you're at that point in time. Same thing with off-season program. Maybe we're looking at groups when we pick our teams for our off-season program, doing everything in our points system. We always have an off-season point system we put together with our guys. So it's giving you points, what you're doing in the classroom, seeing with your GPAs, what you're doing with the guys in their weight room, putting that time in, what they're doing to help develop themselves as a community. But that way those guys are getting constant feedback. But we're always looking at what are things that we can tweak or add on to that to help develop in that full total perspective from academically, athletically, socially, spiritually, community. So those guys are always developing in those as they go forward. Because the only goal is, yeah, just like you said, we want to make sure we're keeping them growing, making sure we're staying to the biggest issue you see from high school and college. It is development. It's a lot, but you always have to have a structure of time management and organization. So making sure that they do have that and you're helping them guide throughout those times. So they're making sure that, hey, it might be overwhelming when you first come in there. It might be a lot on your plate, but hey, as you start going through, you start, hey, put in perspective, where do I need to be at now? Okay, I got these 2 hours I'm putting in for practice. Now I'm going to be moving on. I'm going to get something to eat real quick for dinner. I'm going to move on and get some studying in. That way, everything's compartmentalized and throughout the course of the day and have something to go off of. And I think that has really helped throughout their process and just feedback-wise from players too as well.
So creativity, all right? Speaking from personal perspective, I never felt like I was a creative person growing up. Like, my dad was a phenomenal coach. He's a Hall of Fame wrestling coach, but my dad could play a couple instruments. My dad and mom are both like really artistic. They can draw really well, those type of things. I can't even draw a stick figure, right? I've never touched an instrument in my life. It was all sports. It was all physical for me. But when I became a coach, I think a little ways into my coaching career, I realized like, I actually am a really creative person. A lot of my creativity comes in to coaching. When I coached football for years, we ran a lot of very creative offenses. As a wrestling coach, we do some really unique things on the wrestling mats, but a lot of my training is creative. It's a little outside the box or whatever sometimes, but it's always trying to have a growth mindset and a growth process and not just being creative, just to be creative. It's, hey, how can we improve and get better? I feel like listening to you, you are a very creative coach. And like you said, 1 year you may do this and you may focus on this area, and the next year you may focus on this area, because once you evaluate, hey, here's where we need to grow. Here's what this group needs, right? It's always driven me nuts. And I'll use football as an example. Whenever you have a coach, it's like, okay, we're running this offense and we're doing it no matter what. And let's just say high school, right? You didn't get to recruit. And maybe 1 year you got a bunch of big hosses, right? And you can run it up, you know, you can shove it down people's throat. And then next year you got a bunch of little small, fast guys, and you probably can't do that. But sometimes coaches are stubborn and they're like, we're going to run it down their throat no matter what. Like, bro, you do not have the team for that. So talk a little about creativity from the coaching perspective. How are you guys creative, and how does that play into your coaching a little bit?
Yeah, creativity from the coaching perspective, they go on a field development place. I think the coaching staff that have the work hand in hand, I think do a really, really good job as far as developing what we're doing in the offense and defense and what we're doing on special teams. I think our guys do a really good job as far as what you just said, not just sticking yourself and having a closed mindset, always having that growth mindset and looking at what do we have now with our roster. One of us, we first came in 19, what we did for 2020, 2021, that pandemic year. What we were doing here now, this is past 2021 season, is looking at, hey, offensively, this is working best right now for our guys, depending on, hey, if it is, we got a little bit more strength up front, this is how we're going to develop more of our run game. Maybe run game wise, we need to develop this way, depending on if we have a little more speed, depending with our guys, if it's with our backs, with our skill guys out of the receiver position, and really changing things. So we're not always stuck with, hey, we're running this no matter what, because that's what we've always done. So I think that's helped out is everyone on our coaching staff, I think, has that growth mindset of making sure we want to put our players in the best possible point to help them and help guide them, but also it's going to help our overall team, whether it's been on offense, what we're doing on defense, and putting them in the right positions on the field to help them grow and give them success on the field. And then even with our special teams, because it's all everybody. Hey, now it's your offensive players, your defensive players, your guys coming together. Hey, you guys have to come together now and form and form those units with your punt team, your punt return, your kickoff, kick return, when your guys are setting up your field goal and your field goal block units. And I think now that's made that with those guys even come together more because, hey, you're seeing how it does develop and how those things come together in all three phases of the game and how it comes together to formulate that overall team. So I think the creativity has really helped and is shown through all the three phases of the game that we've had so far and having the coaches be involved with the whole staff as far as not just saying like, hey, we're doing this no matter what. It's having that open mindset to everything that we do have.
Yeah. I feel like it's important as a coach and I love to hear that and things that you guys are, things that you guys are doing. Let's talk about personal growth real quick, because a lot of times as coaches, we expect our athletes to consistently grow, right? To grow as football players, to grow academically, to grow as human beings. What are some of the things that you do personally I guess we can kind of boil it down to daily habits, but what are some of the daily habits that you do for personal growth?
Yeah, personal growth. I keep my faith in God. So literally the first things I always do waking up, there's a coach's Bible that I go off of. So I always read whatever the daily verses for that coach's Bible is that's in there. I go off of that. Then any of the scripture goes directly with that. Our school just developed. Father Max actually just happened to be our team chaplain, put together for this past season, for Christmas season, put together a specific book that he gave anybody that was interested in it and had throughout the holiday season each day. And he had somebody specifically throughout the faculty and administration on campus that gave their own personal one for the reading of that day. So that's something also kind of added in just from this past month and two as well. But yeah, I always have done that. I've always had that reading. It kind of opens my day up, keeps my mental perspective correct going forward. Hey, what's the outlook now going to that day? There's always something that helps then throughout that course of the day as I go through it, something might come up. Maybe it's a situation in practice. Hey, maybe something occurred in that game that day. Maybe it was something I was talking with somebody on the staff about. And it leads, always comes back to something from that scripture that day. I swear to God on that end. So it really keeps putting everything in that perspective at the end of the day. So that's how I kind of open up my day with each day, from growth and looking at as far as that personal development. It's always looking at what else then can I grow from? So it's always listening to different, whether it be something on Audible that I have, maybe 10 minutes I can listen to something each day in my drive, and I can take something away from a new book. Recently, it was Bill Belichick's book I was listening to when I was out on the road recruiting. So I was listening to that as I was going to different schools and trying to see some things that he's done and hearing perspective from past coaches or players that have worked with him. And how they've kind of viewed him or seen things that they thought were great from an organizational standpoint. So I'm always looking at it from the personal growth. What are some things that I can get better at, or what are some things then to maybe our organization here at St. Vincent College and our program can get better at. So I would say always want to continue to keep improving. There's always things to learn, no matter how many years you start developing in this coaching. There's always something that can take away to help, I feel, yourself or your program out. And those are things that I'm always looking at each and every day.
What about, you know, you look like you stay in good shape to me. What about, you know, workouts, diet, things like that?
Yes. Yeah. From the workout standpoint, I usually have been a 5 day. When I used to play, I was 6 days to 7 days. I cut that down. Then from the coaching standpoint, going more of a 5 day workout routine, keeping that end. And I always switch from upper body, lower body throughout the course of the week. And that's something I've always stayed on. I feel like that's a big thing mentally, is keeping yourself. Your players, you always preach about staying in shape and making sure you're putting the right foods and fuel in your body. Are you doing that yourself, though? They're looking at you, okay, well, coaches talk about this all the time. Is he doing it himself? What does he do daily? So I think our players definitely have seen that, because they've seen me in here usually in the morning. It's before anybody else has even started the day. I always like to get in the weight room early, get my workout out of the way. But then throughout the course of the day, I always preach to them about the fuel. It's got to be fuel you're putting in your body from whatever drink you put in, whatever food you're putting in nutritionally. It's going to fuel your body then throughout the day in the classroom, mentally, from that perspective. What's going to fuel you on that football field then physically? Mm-hmm. So you're putting the proper thing with proteins, carbs, the fat sources to help grow and develop yourself. So those are things that even now, hey, yeah, I'm not playing, but I got to make sure I'm putting the right fuel so I can make sure I'm not sluggish throughout the day, make sure I'm awake throughout the day, make sure I'm ready to organizationally, so we're ready to go then through our coaching staff, and we're able to get in our practices during our offseason recruiting. We're making sure our guys are staying on top of the list, making sure academically our players are going throughout their course of their week and on top of their classes. So those are things that I have to make sure on my end. If I'm doing the wrong things, I'm putting the wrong things in my body, hey, it's going to slow me down. It's going to make me sluggish. It's going to hurt me and my development growth. And then I physically can't be there then. If I'm missing days of work because I'm sick, or I'm missing days and I'm in the hospital, like all those things have to play a perspective, is how are you going to help God if you're not doing those things on your end yourself? Yeah. You have to show that by example then each and every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it goes a long ways, man. Whenever you, I mean, none of us, nobody's perfect, right? And including coaches, but whenever you can practice what you preach as much as possible, you know, I think your athletes respect that big time. And then, I mean, maybe it's because coming at it with from an athletic perspective, man, but as a coach, whenever you can show up as your best version of yourself every day, you just know that's going to be best for your athletes as well. Right. So whenever you're eating well, whenever you're working out, for me, it's, like, my wife likes me a lot better when I work out, and it has nothing to do with the way I look. It's I'm a much better, nicer person when I work out consistently, you know, yeah. Mentally relieved from the stress and things like that, you know, by working out. So now that also kind of leads me to this. I think a lot of times when people are leaders, what you give and you pour yourself into other people as much as you possibly can. All human beings need people to pour into them, you know? So if you're a CEO of a company, if you're a head coach, if you're the pastor of a church, whatever, you need people to pour into you as well. So who do you have in your life that pours into you and fills your bucket?
Number one on my list is my wife.
Yeah.
I'm being honest, my wife's there for me every day, every moment, every day of my life. She's been there since junior year of prom in high school. We went to high school North Catholic together, and we've been today together since then. And she's always the one there to push me. Hey, what's going on? Why are you stressed out right now? What's going on? Figuring out the solution. How can we develop this? How can we get better? Hey, she's there to want to check too. Hey, if it's a loss, hey, these are things I saw from watching the game that you guys got to get better at. So it's fun to always hear from her, right? Because she always gives me the perspective and is, hey, maybe some things I didn't want to hear, but there's things I got to look at. Hey, okay, that could help us out, good or bad. So I was having somebody that's going to check me every single day and be very 100% honest as far as how seeing things, if it's at a game, seeing things just me going back and forth throughout my daily schedule, when I'm coming home at night or when I'm leaving in the morning, communicating throughout the day. I think those are all big things that I definitely am blessed to have. Her and my wife, that she's always there. She's been there through the thick and the thin, all the good and the bad times. That she's always there to, they have a better perspective on things to help develop. She's also, I mean, she's been great as far as looking at things whenever I've talked about what we're doing as far as off-season programs, some of the things that we're looking at and helping develop our guys and having ideas that she's always able to bounce back off of me then too as well. So she also helps out throughout that process too.
Yeah, that's important. And it's funny you said that, you know, somebody kind of puts you in check. So my wife is, and she's also a coach, but she's very supportive. You know, there's times where she's not afraid to say, I mean, just a couple weeks ago, you know, there were COVID issues going on in our school, and you're like, I don't know who's going to be in the lineup and who's not. And anyway, I'm home and I'm all stressed out. And she was like, hey, you better practice what you preach. Control the controllables, right? I talk about it all the time. Control the controllables.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Like, I've literally all day long that has been in my head, you know, but like, she's not afraid to say it, you know? So you talk about it all the time. You better live it. You know?
I got to live it. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, those things are important, but all right. So a couple kind of fun things here. And I call these like just kind of quick hitter questions, but all right. If we were to grab your phone, and I know your wife would be the number one, so we can kind of look outside of that. But if we were to look at like your start or your favorite contacts on your phone, who are a couple of those and why?
You definitely would be, my wife would be number one. After that, you had my coaches, my parents, family. Those would be all the ones kind of in order going down. If you're looking at any contacts that I usually am in with throughout the course of a week, though.
Yeah. Support system.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So the next one, you can answer all three of these, or you can just pick one and expound upon it as much as you want. But tell me about a hero, a hardship, or a highlight in your life, or a little of each. Hero, hardship, highlight.
Yeah. I'd say hero perspective as far as somebody that honestly – I looked up to, even though he's probably a little over a year older than I am. He was the one that really, when I was looking at high school, I was going back and forth. Like, I really loved the game of basketball, and I was really looking at basketball or football. What do I want to continue playing as I go into college? And it was transitioning. It was my sophomore year going to my junior year, and got it. I think took out the light that you see out there in college football. Is one of the greatest college football players of all time on the Heisman Trophy was Tim Tebow. And how what he preached out there on the field, what he did down off the field, how he lived his everyday life, and he still does in the community, and how he gives back and helps others out. And he was the one I talked about, like Bible verses and going back and keeping things in perspective. That was something that I looked up to right off the bat. I was like, wow. Okay, he's using his platform for a great reason and glorifying God at the end of the day. And how he's doing that is through his play. But the little things, by adding little Bible verses underneath with the high black, when he was at press conferences or when he was talking, he was always putting little things out there, which helped did glorify, but also helped the community he was in, helped the area, helped the state, and eventually helped throughout. As he started doing projects internationally then too, that he already was doing as he grew up with his family. That was somebody as far as like a hero, as far as somebody that I started looking up to and said, okay, this is something that I want to use as a platform and continue whenever I get throughout my playing. And then obviously whenever I got into coaching from that end, or somebody that I looked up to at that point in time and still feel he does a great job in his everyday life with. And other two, you said hardship. It was a tough time. It would have been going into 2015. Yeah, 2015 year. It would have been 2014 going to 2015. Was a tough time. It was my grandfather at that time. It was going into the last game. I was coaching St. Vincent at that time. And it was going to our last week of our season, and found out that it was a Thursday night. My grandfather was just put in the hospital. Struggling with a lot of different things from the physical standpoint at that time, health-wise. And I think everybody in the family kind of knew this was going to be tough for him to bounce back from. And at that time, the hardship was seeing him during that time fight constantly day in and day out. But he knew it was eventually starting to get to the end. He pushed it. I mean, he did. I mean, that was the middle of November. He hung on until the middle of July of that 15 year, from 14 to 15. But seeing throughout, when I go to visit him or hearing different conversations that he would say, and at that time he was going through a lot. So it was keeping things perspective on that end, and understanding how, hey, keeping your family involved in everything and understanding how big things are and how time constraints can be involved in your everyday life, but always making sure leaving that time though at the end of the day though too. And he always talked about always leaving time for your family though, and being there for them during the holiday season or being throughout your course of your year. So those are things I felt like was a hardship. It was very tough seeing somebody go through that, because that was the first time really seeing somebody that close to me go through that path before eventually passed away that July. But taking away the things that he always talked about during that time that I was able to spend, I felt like I got a lot more and heard a lot more from about him during that time than I did as I grew up. Some things I didn't even know about. So it was good to hear from him, from that, get to learn a little bit more about him and see from a different light at that time, which I think has helped develop the growth going forward. Third, I think I couldn't remember what he had on there.
Highlight,
as far as personal highlight or as far as like staying from playing or coaching.
Yeah. Whatever comes to your mind.
I'd probably say the coaching end, the biggest highlight would have been this past year, honestly. We had our homecoming game and we played Case Western Reserve. It was a very good team. I mean, year in and year out, they're a really good team. They won the conference the year before, were undefeated. And our guys, just seeing the development of them throughout the course of the game, understand they were going versus a very good opponent and seeing them battle from drive to drive, quarter to quarter, and staying. I mean, we were back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And to see our guys finish that thing out and come away victorious with a 42-40 win, the excitement, the energy, the atmosphere from the what you have from the fan perspective there, people running down on the field. You had the players and their excitement at seeing that joy in their face, the coaches. That was definitely the biggest high I'd say so far from the coaching perspective. And playing end would have been multiple ones I'd say throughout my playing careers from high school throughout. Definitely in college. The college end would have been when we played my senior year, we played at home in our homecoming game. It very similar. That's what I always kind of think back to that game from this year when we played homecoming versus my senior year homecoming playing were so similar. I say probably that's why the biggest highlights would have been from those two, from the coaching and the playing end, would have been those. From highlight though, from playing an arena would have been when we won. We won our championship actually in 2013, and guys from all over the country coming together, playing together, finishing things off. We were down at halftime. We were a undefeated team. We were 11-0 at halftime, and we're down for the first time all season. So adversity struck us like, oh, okay, we're down right now. How are we going to bounce back from it? Because you could tell like nobody in the room has went through that yet. We're very fortunate to have a really good team, and I felt like guys had bonded together and really were playing for each other. Were there, spent a lot of time off the field together, and I think that helped development on the field. But seeing at that point, okay, we got a second half of football to play here. This is for everything. None of this mattered what our record would have been at that point in time if we don't finish it out right now in these last two quarters. But seeing from the coaches, the players, finalized, we ended up coming out victorious, 37-36 in that game, winning the championship for the league. But seeing, yeah, the joy, the side, all the coaches, the players, everybody there together, that puts everything in perspective at the end of the day, why you do it, why you put all those extra hours in, the blood, the sweat, and the tears that go with that. And it all comes together at that point in time. So I'd say those would be the highlights then from the playing end.
Yeah. Yeah, this year, you know, the blood, the sweat, the tears, man, those shared experiences, right? The shared experiences with the – and really it's chosen sufferings for athletes who are choosing to do it. But, you know, the shared experiences of chosen suffering – and then also, like, when it works out and you have the victory, man, those are, like, some of the best feelings in the world. Like, you can't explain it until you felt it, I don't think.
No, definitely not. Yeah, it's – yeah, a lot of great times throughout the year. So, looking forward to some more here going forward.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, Coach, last question I want to ask you. Coaching and family life, you know, how do you – I don't know that there is a true balance in life. Everybody has a different perspective on that. There's definitely priorities. But how do you balance the two, or how do you mesh the two, coaching and family life?
I'd say that is the biggest right now. Something that I'm still going through. I'm just being honest. From the balance of the two perspectives, because there is a lot of time commitment you have from the coaching and a lot of things that are just year round. Your recruiting doesn't end year round. There's always activities year round. Developing too as well, what you want to do with the program, how you want to make sure it's keep going forward, continuously going forward each year. So it's making sure, hey, developing, keeping the family in there. So my wife has done an awesome job, bless her, from being a part of everything. So her and my son, she'll bring, whether it be maybe she once she finishes work, maybe she'll come over and she'll stop by and bring dinner so we can see each other and hang out, for a day during the week. When we're in season, Sunday, we always tell the staff, hey, Sunday nights, we're done at 5:00. So that way everybody can get home. Everybody can get dinner with their family, can see them. We do Thursday nights after practice. So guys can get out of there. They can go home, see their family on Thursday night. So too, as well. That way you're able to see at least a few days in during the course of the week where you can either spend time to eat dinner with your family and see them during that time, which helps out. And I think it definitely is good. Then Fridays is our walkthrough day. So those guys on Fridays, if they want, they're able to come to on staff. They can come a little bit later so they can see in the morning. And then that night, then hey, depending if it's away, if we're going somewhere off track and we're going to be out a little bit later, if they're able to see the family on that Friday night before we get up early and get on the road the next day. Those are some things that during the season, to make sure they're still seeing and spending time, seeing some time with their family, it's a wife or the girlfriend or kid, or then in the off season, making sure those guys are always having those days. And during the off season, we always have, so every single Sunday, those guys are always off. They always see each other. Saturdays really depend on recruits, for recruits who are coming on campus or we're going to an event. They always are going to have time on that end. But then the good thing is then during the course of the week, usually getting down at a decent time. It's fairly, it's not so late. So a lot of guys are able to go and see their family then at night then too as well, or see them for dinner then too.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a whole world that exists in coaching behind the scenes that people don't see, right? They see your team play on Saturdays and then everybody gets to be, and I'm guilty. I'm an armchair quarterback, right? So I love OU. I'm from Oklahoma. I love OU football.
Oh, yes.
So I'm calling the offense every Saturday from my couch. but there's a whole world that exists behind closed doors. Whenever you guys are with your athletes or when you're with your coaching staff and things like that. And people forget, like, man, these guys are humans. These guys have a life outside of sport. And they got to manage that as well. So it's good to be able to hear that. And I know you as a head coach, you know, it's so important that not only are you spending time with your family, but also that you're allowing your staff to do the same thing. So that's awesome, you know, and when they do that, they're going to be even better coaches anyway. So in the long run, man, we all need that. You got, man, something about when you have your dinner with your family or spend time with your family, it just rejuvenates you.
Yes. Yes. Always puts things in a different perspective when you got, I got a 3-year-old right now and we got a girl expected on the way at the end of April and you could see his from day to day, seeing him how he is, and he's got that energy all the time, 24/7. But you could see like how excited he is then when you come in the room from not seeing him throughout the course of the day, and then get to see him then at night, and how excited he is about it. It really puts things into perspective. It's okay. Everything else is very small compared to having that extra time and with your family at that point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. You know, and that's something else. Coaches are often sacrificing time with their family and their own kids to pour into somebody else's kids, you know, which is one of the great things about coaching. It's a blessing to get to do that as a coach. And then it's also something that, you know, I got four kiddos, so I appreciate the coaches that are pouring time into my kids as well. So anyway, thanks for all you're doing out here, Coach, to be able to pour into the lives of these young men that are on your football team.
I appreciate it, Coach P. I definitely appreciate everything you're doing from your coaching perspective, how you're developing too with your family and able to keep that balance in between the two as well.
Yes, sir. So, all right. Hey, where can we follow you or where can we follow St. Vincent on social media, website?
Yes, Twitter. Mine's at Coach Smetanka. At Coach and Smetanka's Smetanka. And then the other one we have is at our football is at SVC. It's underscore is football then. So capital SVC underscore and then capital F lowercase for football then going through. You can find us on Twitter, also on Facebook for both as well. Feel free to reach out, contact anytime. If you ever have questions, ever want to reach out, always feel free. I love getting on. I love talking to others that enjoy not just football, but enjoy no matter what the sport is, just being in athletics in general. There's something special about it. Something special about, I think, a bond of coaching and coaching student athletes. So I'm always out there. I always love talking with others, no matter what the topics may be.
All right. I'll take those links. I'll put them in the show notes. So anybody listening, you can go and click right on those in the show notes. Get on and follow Coach, follow St. Vincent College Football. And then, if you feel inspired, man, reach out and connect. So, again, thanks for being on, Coach. I appreciate you. I'm grateful to have you on the show.
No, I appreciate it, Coach P. It's definitely great talking to you again. And, yeah, looking forward to staying in touch going forward.
Yes, sir. All right, everybody. It's been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. May God bless you, smile upon you, give you peace. Until next time, we're out. Hey, before you go, I just want to tell you thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Coach P's Perspective. And then a couple things that I would ask. One is hit the subscribe button. That way, every single time a new episode comes out, man, as soon as you open up your podcast app, it is right there, ready to roll. You can listen to a new one. The second is, if you would, and we earned it, give us a 5-star review, a quick written review, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts, that's great. You know, one of the ultimate goals is to grow this show and to positively impact as many people as possible, and that helps. And then lastly, jump over to lanefrostbrand.com. Visit my friends over there. This is an incredible company, family-owned, operated, honoring the late, great Lane Frost, who is, a former rodeo champion, was one of my idols growing up, and this is one of my absolute favorite companies. So if you need ball caps, T-shirts, all kinds of apparel, again, go over to lanefrostbrand.com and check them out. Thank you guys again. Much love, and God bless.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.